Good morning, I'm Chris Oaks, and coming up today, are we still a nation worthy of the promise entrusted to us by our founding fathers? What will the United States become in the next quarter millennium? Congressman Bob Latta reflects on America's 250th birthday. Also this morning, the state of Ohio has changed the way some new drivers can become licensed for the first time, and more changes may be coming. We'll take a closer look. And we have details on July's schedule of events at the Hancock Historical Museum, including Flag City USA's birthday bash for America 250. Abigail Inbody will tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. I don't know if you happen to see the photo of this, the Ohio State Highway Patrol's entry in this year's Best Looking Cruiser contest is pretty cool. Every year, they have this annual competition. It's sponsored by the American Association of State Troopers, where every state patrol, state police agency around the country submits a photo of their state patrol car and the design of their state patrol car, and in a pose, it's posed in a way that highlights their individual states. And this year's Ohio Highway Patrol entry is pretty cool. Voters have until July 10th at noon to look through all of the photos of police cars and trucks from across the nation and select their favorite. The top 13 cruisers will be featured in next year's AAST calendar, the American Association of State Troopers. The winner is placed on the cover, and then each month there is a different cruiser featured. The Ohio cruiser was photographed this year in front of the Veterans Freedom Flag Monument in Lima, which is really cool. It's a cool monument right next to the Joint Systems Manufacturing Center, the tank plant, as it's colloquially known. It's a pretty cool photo. I tell you what, there are some really cool photos of police cruisers from around the country. I especially like Indiana's. They posed the cruisers on the University of Indiana football field to celebrate their national championship. So kind of cool. There is a link to vote on the association's website at statetroopers.org. So if you haven't seen that, you have until July 10th at noon to get your vote in. Let's go in and vote for Ohio's. I also have to mention that Michigan's is actually pretty cool. I mean, it pains me to say that, but it is actually pretty cool. There are a lot of them that are really cool. Anyway, you can check all of that out, statetroopers.org. So I wanted to mention that. This happens with the 4th of July coming up. I want to mention this because it happens every year, and this year it just happened in Toledo a couple of days ago. A teenager is recovering from injuries suffered in a fireworks incident. And you hate to see this story, but especially the circumstances surrounding this particular incident. Toledo police say the 14-year-old victim's younger brother threw a lit firework that landed near the older boy's face. It went off. The victim's facial injuries are described as serious. 14 years old, and he was the older brother in this incident. So please, please, please do not let your young kids play with any firework, regardless of how quote-unquote safe you think it is. At this age, they really shouldn't be playing with that. Certainly not using fireworks unsupervised, as appears to be the case in this story. But just a reminder of the dangers that go along with those backyard fireworks. And I know that they're legal now, and I know that we all enjoy fireworks, and they're fun, and they're part of the 4th of July celebration and all of that. But please, please, please be safe, especially when it comes to children. And 'cause these are explosives. I mean, they're explosives. Just be careful out there. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, Major League Baseball's attempt to trademark one of the most popular phrases in the sport has been denied. The U.S. Trademark and Patent Office rejected Major League Baseball's bid to own the phrase play ball. They actually tried to trademark the words play ball. The patent office, though, rejected the trademark and patent office rejected the application, saying the phrase is too commonplace. So score one for common sense in a government agency. It doesn't happen very often, but it did in this case. Apparently, Major League Baseball wanted to trademark the slogan so that they could put it on clothing and sell it to people and make even more money. But they have like 3 months to appeal the ruling. But play ball, it's just too... Can you imagine? You couldn't say play ball at a Little League game anymore unless you paid Major League Baseball a royalty fee. Good move by the Trademark and Patent Office on this one. I think I side with the government on this one. Speaking of government regulations, this is something kind of interesting. The FDA is now going to allow those Zyn nicotine pouches to be marketed with a modified risk claim. They still have to have, you know, the health warning, but they are allowing, because Zyn pouches, they contain nicotine but no tobacco, and they've been authorized for sale in the U.S. since January of last year. The FDA is now allowing the company to market Zyn's 10 flavors with a claim that using Zyn instead of cigarettes puts you at a lower risk of mouth cancer, heart disease, lung cancer, stroke, emphysema, and chronic bronchitis. So that modified warning is allowed to be placed on. These are the first nicotine pouches that are allowed to be marketed with a modified risk claim. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just letting you know. You can debate that amongst yourselves. A couple of other items here that fall under the category of the most interesting stories of the day. The record-shattering SpaceX IPO from, I guess, now last month, right? A couple of weeks ago, SpaceX went public and made Elon Musk an instant trillionaire, although his net worth has come down as the stock price has come down. But he's not the only one that made big bucks out of the IPO. Apparently, the record-shattering SpaceX IPO is driving a home-buying frenzy now in the wealthier neighborhoods of Los Angeles County. Real estate agents in Southern California are reporting a spike in high-end home shoppers in places like Manhattan Beach, Venice, Santa Monica, and Hawthorne, where SpaceX has its headquarters. Shares of SpaceX started publicly trading on June 12th, and since then, many more people are looking for homes in the $5 million plus range. Seems the IPO created thousands of new millionaires, and now they are cashing in. Economists say the wealthy areas have seen similar home buying booms fueled by tech, the success of tech companies, but they are warning of speculative price spikes. It's going to drive up the property values, and then there might be a mini crash coming. But for now, the real estate agents are rolling in the big bucks. $5 million plus homes because of that IPO. And speaking of making money with out of high-tech things, it's not just the SpaceX IPO millionaires. I saw this on the Newswire, and again, I'm not going to pass judgment. I'm not going to say whether this is good or bad. I'll just put this out here, and you can decide for yourself how you feel about this. It says, President Trump has made at least $635 million from cryptocurrency deals during his second term in a nearly 1,000-page financial disclosure yesterday. The president revealed that he made the money from a licensing deal that put his name on crypto coins, giving him more than $1 billion in total cryptocurrency holdings. The president, of course, has long pushed for loosening regulations on cryptocurrency. And some would speculate that maybe this has something to do with that. He's made a lot of money in it. Mr. Trump also bought and sold stock in GEO Group, which is a private prison company and a huge contractor with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So that also raising eyebrows. And all of this is raising eyebrows because this president differs from past presidents in that he did not divest his assets or even place them in a blind trust before taking office for his second term. And he is cashing in. Now, again, you can say that's a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe he should have the right to do that. That is something you have to decide for yourself. But he's doing it. Making a lot of money. What do you think? Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather. Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 90s. It'll feel even hotter than that. Mostly clear tonight, low in the 70s. We're still under an extreme heat warning as this heat wave continues, with today expected to be one of the hottest days of them all, with heat index values expected to reach 106 or even higher. Health officials reiterate that these consecutive days of excessive heat and humidity, combined with little relief overnight, increases the likelihood of heat-related illnesses like heat exhaustion and heat stroke. People are advised to stay out of the sun and in the AC, wear loose-fitting clothing, and drink plenty of fluids. How much longer will this heat wave last? Remember, you can always get the latest forecast and weather alerts on our website. The Humane Society and SPCA of Hancock County is reminding pet owners that while fireworks are fun for you, they aren't very much fun for your pets, who are more sensitive to loud noises.
If you are going somewhere to watch the fireworks, we definitely encourage you to leave your pets at home. I know you probably want to spend as much time with your pets as possible, but it is a scary time for your pets, and they will definitely thank you for being in their own home.
That's Natalie Refford with the Humane Society and SPCA of Hancock County. Get more 4th of July pet safety tips in this story on our website. Speaking of the 4th of July, Finley's 4th of July parade and fireworks are coming up. You can kick off Independence Day weekend at the July 4th Spectacular on Friday, July 3rd at the Hancock County Fairgrounds. The event will include family fun, food, live music, and a fireworks show at dusk as Hancock County celebrates our nation's 250th birthday. Then the next morning on Saturday, July 4th, Finley's 4th of July parade will step off at 11 a.m. at South Main and Lima Avenue and continue northbound to the Hancock County War Memorial at Center Street. Get more details on both the July 4th Spectacular at the fairgrounds and Finley's 4th of July parade in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So we're coming up on America's semi-quincentennial, our 250th birthday. 2.5 centuries ago, our founding fathers laid out the principles of a new nation, and we celebrate that legacy today by reflecting on where we've come, where we're going. Congressman Bob Latta is with us this morning. Congressman, thanks for taking the time, and happy 4th to you.
Well, thank you very much, and happy 4th.
So I know a lot of people have asked this question, and so I'm curious your thoughts, and certainly not to disparage yourself or any of your colleagues in Washington, but if we were starting this country today. I mean, if we were just breaking away from Great Britain in 2026 instead of 1776, what would the United States of America look like if we were just gaining independence? If we were, if today's leaders were laying out that blueprint, what would it look like? How different would it be?
Well, you know, you have to go back in retrospect. I was a history major in school, and I constantly read history, especially about our early American history,
yeah,
our constitutional history. And, you know, one-third of the people didn't want to break away from Great Britain. One-third of the people really were ambivalent, and a third of the rest were wanting to be away from Great Britain. And then you have to take that one-third and take it down to a handful that really kept the revolution alive. Mm. So, you know, that's why I think that sometimes people forget about, that it wasn't the whole country was out there in an uprising. It was a small group of individuals that led this country. And this is why George Washington, in my opinion, is the greatest individual in American history, because it was Washington's leadership that kept an early ragtag army together that then became an army as they marched out of Valley Forge, that we actually had a fighting force. But, you know, I think we saw what happened at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. Mm-hmm. That first of all, the Articles of Confederation were a total failure, and they were put in around 1777, and they didn't work.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought the country would collapse at that time, but really what happened was you had 13 states come that were supposed to come together. Rhode Island never even came. You had people that went to the Constitutional Convention in May of 1787. Some went home mad, some stuck around, but it was, again, a small group of individuals. And so I think that one of the great things about this country is that we always rise to the occasion.
That actually speaks to the other question I wanted to ask. I mean, when you think back on the what our founders were able to do when they laid out this blueprint for a new nation, not just a new nation, a new type of nation, really a type of government that really hadn't been done before. What is the thing that still awes you when you think, man, I can't believe that they thought of that, or that they had enough foresight to lay this out that way? I mean, is there, you know, some aspect of that really jumps out at you?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost, especially with the Declaration of Independence, and then when the Constitution was 11 years later, mm-hmm. I truly believe that God put a small group of individuals in a spot at the exact same time on this earth to do something.
Yeah.
And because when you read, and I think it's important, it's a very short document for the people to read the Declaration of Independence. You know, they really laid out what their grievances were with Great Britain, with the king. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they also knew this. When they signed that document, you know, when they said we mutually pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors.
Right.
They knew they could get hung.
Yeah.
And
they weren't kidding.
Very good possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these people that did it knew that the expression that was then, we either stay together, or we hang together. Mm-hmm. And I really believe when you look what they did, and they put Thomas Jefferson, a young Virginian, to start drafting, and of course they had Adams, and you think about these names, you know, these titans.
Yeah.
And Franklin that did the review. Jefferson didn't like them reviewing his document, making changes. Mm-hmm. But when they put their collective minds together, they came up with the Declaration of Independence, which was one of the documents that Abraham Lincoln referred to often in his early life and through his presidency. He would think back as to what the founders did, what they were trying to achieve. So I really believe that, you know, this country always rises. And at the same time, you know, I think that with the soccer going on, with the World Cup, the people coming to this country, mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. are wowed by this nation. They can't believe it. But I say this is that one of the great things about this country is that America gives you the ability to dream big. And so many places you don't have that opportunity. But this is a place where people still come, and I meet them on a daily basis. And a lot of times with my committee that I chair in energy, that people from around the world say, you know what, if you want to make it, this is the country you come to do it.
Yeah. You bring up such a good point, and I think we would do well to remember that, you know, that idea of give me liberty or give me death, that was very literal at the time when they signed off on the Declaration of Independence. That was a literal, so I mean, we think of it conceptually, but that was a very literal possibility. We're 250 years in, you know, as of July 4th. What does this country look like in the next 250 years? Have you given much thought to, I mean, you know, when we're celebrating, you know, in future generations, when they celebrate the 500th anniversary?
That's a great question, because I ask that all the time. And especially when students are here at the Capitol, and I always love speaking with them or at their schools. But I think that you have to look at what the founders said. And it was actually Benjamin Franklin, right after the end of the Constitutional Convention ended in Philadelphia. You know, again, people thought the country was going to break apart. Mm-hmm. There'd be a northern part of the country, a middle part of the country, and a southern part of the country. And Mrs. Powell approached him and asked Franklin, what have you given us, a republic or a monarchy? Because they had taken an oath of secrecy. Nobody knew what was going on in there. Mm-hmm. And again, it was a back and forth struggle. But Franklin said these words to her, a republic, if you can keep it. And I think about that phrase every day. And he wasn't talking to Mrs. Powell. He was talking to every generation of Americans that followed. And every American generation that followed has always had a duty. We're supposed to leave the country in a better shape, in a better position for the next generation as they come into it. And so I think that's so important. And the freedoms and liberties that we have are dear to us, and it's incumbent on us to preserve them.
Are we doing that? Are we leaving a better country to the next generation than the one that we were handed from the previous generation? Because I'm not sure that everybody necessarily believes that right now. And maybe that, you know, that goes back to the partisan divide that we have. We're so divided today. But at the end of the day, have we left this country better than what we inherited?
Yeah, and you know, that's another great question, because again, when you think about our history, as Abraham Lincoln said when he addressed his very short address for the Gettysburg Address, when he talked about, you know, this less a little over 80 years prior that we had formed this nation, and a great battle had been fought at Gettysburg, which was the pivotal battle of the Civil War, which actually began today. On July the 1st, 1863, mm-hmm. It was a three-day battle. And, you know, we have to remember, this country split apart. We went to war over slavery. And, you know, then people thought, even when the war ended, you know, could this country ever be brought back together?
Yeah.
And it did. And so, you know, I have great faith in this nation. I have great faith in what our founders have given us, because we have a guiding document, and that from not only the Declaration of Independence, but also the Constitution and the amendments that followed, that set the course and that charted our course into history. And it's the longest surviving democracy in the world today, that document. And so I have great faith, you know, in this country. But I have great faith because, you know, I'm always blessed and privileged to meet the honor flights when they come here, mm-hmm. with our veterans to visit the war memorials and to talk with them and to thank them for allowing me to do this job. And a lot of times they always say, we want to thank you. I said, no, I thank you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Without you, none of us would be having the freedoms that we have today.
Amen. Again, Congressman Bob Latta with us this morning, reflecting a little bit on the occasion of America's semi-quincentennial, which we observe on Saturday. And again, Congressman, thanks very much for taking the time, kind of sharing your perspective, your thoughts on America's 250th birthday. Once again, happy Independence Day.
Well, thank you very much, and happy 4th.
Well, some changes are coming to the way young people get their driver's licenses for the first time. You might have heard about some of these changes, others maybe you haven't heard of. Tina Simmon is with us from Cardinal Driving School. And I guess the first one, we were reporting on this, a week or two ago, that the state is going to lower the age again for young people to get their learner's permits from 15 and a half down to age 15. Is that a good idea from your standpoint? What's the benefit here?
The benefit, essentially, what the state is looking at is that they're going to have a longer period of time to get more practice in with their parents. Do I think it's a good idea? I think it depends on a maturity level. So I think it's going to be more on the parent on whether they determine whether their 15-year-old is ready to be behind the wheel of a car or not. So more of that's going to rely more on the parent, I think, depending on where their student is maturity level. The fact of extending it from 6 months to a year, I think it's a good idea because several reasons. One, they get more experience, but they also get more experience with different types of weather and different things like that. So if you have a student that's driving, say, in March, and we don't have any more snow, and then they get their temps in March, they're eligible to get their license in September right now.
Yeah.
So the only thing they're driving in is rain, if that, and maybe some fog, depending if we don't get any more snow or bad weather. So I think that's a good thing because they'll get the opportunity to drive in different weather environments.
Yeah, that actually is a good point, because my initial reaction to this, you know, kind of my knee-jerk reaction was, you know, if we gave them learner's permits at 13 or 14, you'd be able to get more time behind the wheel too. But is that too early? Certainly it makes sense to make sure that they have some experience driving through all four seasons on Ohio roadways, because that can be a challenge. I remember the first time way back when, the first time I drove on snow, and that's not fun the first time.
Exactly. But just so you know, Ohio itself is more stricter on the time frame. Like in Florida, kids can be 14 and 8 months. In Michigan, they can be 14 and 8 months. So certain states are a little bit lower on when they can get it, where Ohio is a little bit more, you know what, we need them to be a little bit more mature. We need a little bit more of this before we just, you know, like you said, just give a child the opportunity to be behind the wheel.
Like you said, it will fall on parents to determine whether or not their kids are mature enough to handle that responsibility. From your standpoint, and you see young people all the time, obviously, who are coming to you to for driver's education and driver's training. How do you tell? I mean, what are some of the things that tell you immediately that yes, this student is ready to ready for that responsibility?
And a lot of it depends on how they react in class, right? If they are ready to take notes, they're asking the right questions, they're attentive. Even if they're not asking the questions, you can still tell that they're paying attention. They're learning something from it. It's an easy tell. There are some that, you know, boys and girls mature much differently, you know, depending on their age. And I mean, I was a mom of three kids, and you could definitely see the differences in maturities with the three. I mean, so it's going to be relying more on a parent's, you know, intuitiveness with their student. Not just because they're ready doesn't mean they should.
Yeah. Very, very good point. Now, as we mentioned, that's not the only change that is coming to driver's licensing, getting new drivers licensed. What else is changing about this whole process?
Okay, well, first of all, just to make it clarify, this change hasn't been in effect yet. This still has to be voted on by the Senate, which will be, by the House. One of the two, I forget which one.
Still has to pass the legislature.
Yeah. It's passed one, but now it has to be voted on. That won't happen until after the summer session is over.
Okay.
And then they'll get that on to be voted on. And then if it does become a law, we have about 90 days for them to implement it after that.
Okay.
So we're probably looking maybe 6 months to a year before it's actually implemented, if it does happen.
So in other words, currently somebody who is just turning 14, this would, assuming this all passes, it would apply to someone who's just turning 14. But if you're you know, almost 15 already, it's probably not going to impact.
Probably
you.
Not, so, okay. depending on Good. How fast they implement the
yeah.
law.
Yeah.
So some other changes are as of someone who is here on a visa or for, you know, trying to get asylum or anything else like that, anything that's what we called a limited term applicant, someone who's not a permanent resident of the United States, mm-hmm. is required to do exactly what a teen is. They have to take 24 hours of classroom or online training and then do 8 hours of behind the wheel driving with a licensed instructor. That changed as of June of 2025, June 30th. And then September 30th of 2025, anybody under the age of 21 is now required to take driver's ed. So the reason they're doing that is because they've done some studies, and those studies show that when we turn 18, just because we wait to go get our license doesn't make us the best driver. Mm-hmm. And they noticed that those numbers, when they were looking at crash rates and different things like that, that when they look at statistically, okay, it's 18, 19-year-old, you know, driver, did they or did they not take driver's ed? And they're finding out that almost 78% of them did not take driver's ed. So that's why they changed it.
So this new requirement applies to anyone under the age of 21.
Correct.
So for those who maybe are not aware, what is that process then for individuals over 16 but under 21 to go through the process to get licensed legally?
So the process is the same as far as they have to be have a temporary permit. Mm-hmm. They have to do 24 hours of classroom instruction, whether that's in person or an online program. And then they're required to do 8 hours of driving behind the wheel with a licensed instructor. Now, the difference is a 16-year-old is required to hold that temporary permit for 6 months, and they're required to do 50 hours of drive time.
Yeah.
Just like a person who's over 18 has to do 50 hours, but they're not required at over 15 to hold that temporary permit for 6 months.
Okay.
So that's the definite difference between the two. Anybody under 18 has to hold that temporary permit for 6 months. Anybody over 18, you just have to complete those hours and the requirement for driver's ed, and then you can go test for your test.
Now, keeping that in mind, again, some of those concerns, I would imagine, still apply in terms of getting experience driving in all four seasons and so on and so forth. So, you know, even though those additional requirements are not there or, you know, would not be changed with this new law potentially impacting 15-year-olds, that is still a concern. And I guess, if nothing else, something for new drivers, regardless of age, to keep in mind.
Absolutely. Because just because, like I said, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
So, you know, it's having the knowledge and I think it's all about maturity level, yeah. right? And the more that we can instill what's required in a driver's ed course of being mindful of where you're driving. You're in a weather that you're not sure how to handle. Slow down.
Yeah.
I tell my kids it's always better to be proactive than reactive.
Absolutely.
Do things early opposed to in the moment. And if you can do that, then that is always going to make you safer.
Some changes, that are for sure and some potential changes to the way new drivers are licensed in the state of Ohio moving forward. Tina Simon, again, with Cardinal Driving School, is with us this morning. Where do folks learn more? We talk about, you know, the need for instruction, and obviously that's your forte. Where do folks learn more about Cardinal Driving School?
They can go to our website, which is cardinaldrivingschool.com, or they can give Chelsea in the office a call, which is 567-294-4052. And she's great. She'll help you with any of the needs that you have.
The goal being to make Ohio's roads safer for everyone. Tina Simon, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
In the news business, there are two separate and distinct groups: breaking news and the news that is already broken. These are their stories.
The city of Washington, D.C. makes the broken news this morning. They have agreed to pay an undisclosed settlement to a man who is detained for playing the Imperial March from Star Wars while following National Guard troops around through the city. Sam O'Hara was handcuffed by D.C. police back in September after an Ohio National Guard sergeant who had been deployed there was not amused by the protest and told cops to handle this guy. So they cuffed him. I realize it's not fair to, you know, harass the National Guard soldiers. They're just doing what they were ordered to do. Although that's actually kind of funny. Imperial March. Followed around his attorney. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't just cuff him because you don't like that. His attorney called the episode a reminder that officials can't punish someone for their speech. Can't do that. Can't. That's a no-no. Oh, man. In other broken news this morning. Now, this story breaks just about every rule that we normally have in place for the broken news. It's not funny when someone dies. It's even less funny when there is a murder involved. But this story has such an ironic twist, a terrifically ironic twist that I couldn't resist. A Georgia man who apparently strangled a woman suffered a fatal heart attack while trying to dispose of her body in the woods. How's that for karma? After authorities discovered the bodies, an autopsy confirmed that the woman had died of strangulation and the man of a heart attack. Investigators found his truck still running with the driver's door open and drag marks led from the truck into the woods. So they put two and two together and figured out that he had killed her and then died of a heart attack in trying to dispose of the body. Well, karma will get you. Karma will get you. That's the man upstairs meting out some serious justice right there. They believe the incident stemmed from a domestic dispute. And finally, in the broken news this morning, I hesitate to give Michigan, the state of Michigan, any credit whatsoever. But fair is fair, and credit where credit is due. The state of Michigan, the legislature there, state legislature, has unanimously passed a bill allowing children to operate lemonade stands without permits or fees. Unanimously passed the state house. House Bill 6007 would amend state food law permitting minors to run temporary beverage businesses on private property. So you have to word this properly, right? Qualifying stands must only sell non-alcoholic, non-temperature controlled drinks and earn under $5,000 annually. So you get past that $5,000 cap. Now you got to have a permit. Representative Cam Cavett of Sheboygan said local children inspired the legislation after a health department demanded repeated licensing fees for its lemonade stands. This is a practical change, he said, that will make it easier for our kids to gain real business experience and develop civic responsibility. I applaud their common sense. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Getting a speeding ticket can ruin your day. But what about that cyclist or the pedestrian crossing the street? If you hit them while speeding, you'll do more than just ruin their days. That's why tickets are more than just a fine. They're a second chance. A reminder of what's on the line when you're behind the wheel. You won't get a do-over every time. So take this as your sign to follow the speed limit every drive. Speeding slows you down. Paid for by NHTSA.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news, and the statistics that shape our lives. According to a new survey, 2026 apparently is the year of nostalgia. We're feeling very nostalgic in this summer of 2026. 48% of Americans say that they feel particularly nostalgic this year. And I don't know if it's, you know, it has to do with the America 250. And like I said, you know, if we're old enough to remember the bicentennial, remember, you know, what life was like back then and comparing it to, I don't know what it is, but 48% of Americans say this is the year of waxing nostalgic. 65% of those who are planning trips in the summer of 2026 say nostalgia is significantly impacting those travel plans, either in terms of where they go or what they do when they get there, or both. And I'm thinking this could be part of the reason why, at least part of the reason why. In a separate survey of 2,000 parents, two-thirds say their children's childhood feels like it is disappearing too fast. They say a single year with their child feels like two. Nearly all in that survey, 91%, agree that time accelerates as our kids grow older. The study found that parents believe that the ideal family travel window spans just 7 years when their kids are between 7 and 14 years old. Beyond that age, kids' enthusiasm for a trip with the family fades pretty quickly. They're just not interested after about age 14. Meanwhile, 80% of parents wish that they had vacationed more when their children were younger. Cost, limited availability of time off, and busy schedules remain the biggest barriers. And I have to admit that that may be part of why I catch myself feeling kind of nostalgic in this semi-quincentennial year, because, again, I remember the bicentennial and I remember what our family did when I was very young, 1976, and how we celebrated the bicentennial. And now my kids are older. I don't get the opportunity to celebrate the semi-quincentennial in the same way with my kids. And so, yeah, you do get that kind of nostalgic feeling. Parents say that they are thankful for the time that they have, but also bittersweet and nostalgic at the passing of time. And I can certainly relate to that. I guess the message there, the moral of the story, is that if you are fortunate enough that your kids are within that age window, that ideal age window for family vacations, don't let it slip by. Don't waste it, because those are memories just waiting to be made, and the opportunity is not going to come around again. Every weekend is a big weekend, but this weekend, especially because, of course, we celebrate America's semi-quincentennial. It's our 250th birthday. And, of course, we want to celebrate the Finley 4th of July parade happening on Saturday, the fireworks on Friday night, and then the parade on Saturday. And then right after that, obviously, everybody invited out for America's Birthday Bash at the Hancock Historical Museum. And Abigail Inbody is with us this morning to tell us all about it. This is the traditional ice cream social and then some.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chris. This Saturday, right after the Finley 4th of July parade, you know, we're encouraging the community to come together for an old-fashioned ice cream social, but with a twist this year. We are giving out free Deitch's ice cream and free cake thanks to the Community Foundation's Fun for All grant.
So, ice cream and cake for the 250th birthday. And then, as is tradition, the museum is open if you want to explore some of our local great history as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It wouldn't be a birthday party without the cake and ice cream, but the whole museum campus will be wide open for you to view and read just how Hancock County has contributed to the national story over the past 250 years.
And for those who haven't been lately, what are some of the new things? Because I know the displays and things at the museum are constantly changing, and I don't know if we've really talked about it that much. What is new in the latest displays and exhibits at the museum this year?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. You know, in April, we unveiled a new Civil War exhibit, very timely for America 250 as we are reflecting on nature. You'll have to come check out the Revamped Civil War exhibit. We also have the history of Arlington. You know, some people forget that we are the Hancock Historical Museum, and we want to showcase our county. So we have the history of Arlington. And if you still haven't seen our Growing Up 90s exhibit, this is your last chance this year to view it.
Okay, so things to check out. And again, it's all happening on Saturday, July 4th, and it begins at noon right at the end of the 4th of July parade. So just walk on down to the museum and enjoy the afternoon right there with cake and ice cream and everything else for America's big birthday bash. And then we talk about other things that are going on in the month of July. Kind of the 250, America 250 historical theme continues even beyond the 4th of July, because this is a year-long celebration. You've got a big thing coming up next week, family night on Thursday.
Yes, the Hancock County Library is teaming up with the museum to put on a night full of unearthing a story, or cooking up a story, cooking up history. Mm-hmm. We'll have our barn, our log house open, and activities for the whole family.
So that is Thursday of next week at 6 o'clock. So do folks need to register for that, or is that just, you know, it's kind of open like the ice cream social?
I believe that one is open, but I would call the library. Truth be told, it is the library's program.
Okay. All right. So, but happening at the museum.
Happening at the museum, yeah.
So, want to mention that. So, what else is going on in the month of July? You mentioned a couple of other things that are right around the corner here as well.
Yeah. As always, we love to stay busy on campus. One thing that you will find on our website, and one thing that you won't. So, on our website, we've got our monthly classic movie night on July 17th, and almost everybody has seen Rocky, but if you haven't, now's your chance at 7 p.m. that night.
Here's a fun fact. That is one classic movie that, I mean, I remember when it was in theaters, and we talked about this last month, that we're into classic movie nights that I can remember when they were first run in theaters, but I have never seen Rocky. That is a film that I have absolutely never seen, so I'm not going to make fun of people for not seeing movies that I think are classics, because I haven't seen Rocky.
Well, we're reversed. I have seen Rocky, whereas last month I hadn't seen Footloose. So.
Well, what a great American story that is. So it's perfect for the month of July. That is here in a couple of weeks, right? Give us the details on that.
Yes. Friday, July 17th at 7 p.m., another free event for the family. We have popcorn and a movie discussion before and after.
Okay. All right, so circle that on the calendar. And then one other highlight to make mention of in the month of July?
Yes, it'll be coming to our website later today, but I'm going to give everybody listening a little teaser that we've been working hard with Awakening Minds Art to create a mural of Hancock County history, and we're going to be unveiling that on Sunday, July 19th.
Very cool. Now, where will that be?
That will be at Brooklocker Memorial Park, or the property that our Little Red Schoolhouse is located on 236.
All right. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Really look forward to that. That should be really, really cool. All kinds of things happening in the month of July, again, as we are celebrating America 250 and the semi-quincentennial. There are all kinds of things still tied into, and I, again, I want to mention that this is not just a celebration that ends on July 4th. This is a year-long celebration, so we continue the party throughout the month and really throughout the year, and the Hancock Historical Museum, a great place to celebrate beginning this Saturday. And Abigail Inbody, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. See you Saturday.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net, of course. Also, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would take a moment or two to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. That will help others discover the show as well, and we thank you very much for that. Coming up tomorrow morning on the program, a thoughtful perspective on the civic philosophy that doesn't win votes politically, yet makes self-government possible. Plus, go ahead and fill your plate at that 4th of July bash. We have the Barbecue Hangover Survival Guide. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.